here, and I hope that something I have prepared can be a benefit to you. When I was trying to think of a topic and what I wanted to speak about tonight, contentment came to mind. You know, if you look around or really anywhere, we kind of live in a time of more. You know, the whole world just revolves around more. You know, we spend more time working so that we can make more money and buy more stuff or save up and think that if we save enough, maybe we'll have more time or be able to buy things to fit in with more people or whatever it may be. It just seems like it's all about more. And if that's not bad enough, it's also just more in your face. You know, you can watch TV and somebody's trying to sell you something or presenting that this is the perfect life and you need to have these things to have everything. Or you can get on your phone or social media and it's full of pictures or sales and it just all revolves around getting more, having more. You know, we look in online and you can see people posting, and I don't think they do it with bad intent, but if you look around, it kind of revolves around this. You know, here's a picture of what the perfect family looks like, what the perfect car is, the perfect house. You know, we're going on the perfect vacation. And if you're not careful, you can see yourself growing discontent with what you have. And though I don't think they're doing this in a bragging manner or anything like that, we can fall discontent with what we have in life. We can grow discontent. And as Christians, we need to guard against that because God has blessed us very, very well, and no matter where we are in life, we have blessings that we need to be thankful for. You know, if we're not careful, we can often, I've heard it put, that we can compare the behind the scenes in our lives to the Photoshopped highlight reels in somebody else's. And God didn't intend for us to do that. And it's a toxic thing that can really affect us if we're not careful. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and starting in verse 6, and we'll go through verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, oftentimes that's hard, to be content with just food and clothing. You know, that's something that I think we're blessed far beyond is just the necessities. I think we can oftentimes think, well, if $1 or one thing makes me this happy and cures this many problems, well, then $1 billion ought to make me this happy and cure this many things. But that's not how it works. And God's word is full of wisdom that teaches against that. You know, everybody sees that the grass is greener on the other side, and oftentimes you get on the other side and you get the water bill, and it's not as green as it once looked. You know, when we live in a society, you know, you hear the term keeping up with the Joneses. And the bad thing about that is the Joneses are always a step ahead. You know, if you get a boat, well, they get a new house and a lake house and, you know, whatever it may be. You're never going to catch up. And if you try to buy your way to contentment, you're never going to have it. Contentment is being satisfied with what you have right now. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3, I want to state that there is nothing wrong with having things in this life or enjoying the things that we have. God blesses us, and he wants us to be happy and enjoy those things. In Ecclesiastes 3, in verse 12 through 13 says, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." You know, God, he wants us to be happy and enjoy the things that he has blessed us with in this life. You know, everything that we have is from God. So I want to say that it is not wrong to enjoy things that we do have, or to work hard and to enjoy that. But I think where the line of sin is drawn in the sand is when those things become an idol. When we try to serve the world and the things and the materialism of the world, and that becomes our number one priority instead of serving God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, Philippians chapter 4 and starting verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, when it says, be careful for nothing, that's not saying don't be cautious about anything. That's saying don't be full of care. You know, the New King James Version says, don't be anxious for anything. You know, all the things in life that worry us and stress us out, that don't amount to anything, have a clean house, you know, whatever it may be, going from day-to-day things and tasks that we just worry way too much about, or the materialistic things that we're always trying to get one step ahead or get the next dollar. You know, those things don't amount to anything. And those things can consume us and can make us miserable if we're not careful. You know, so we need to pray to God and lay those things at His feet and know that He's going to take care of us, that we don't have to have everything in life to be happy. You know, and that's a really hard thing for me to do. You know, I like to plan, and I like to know what's going to happen at a certain point in time. If I can plan and have things in order when I get to a spot, it's usually a lot smoother and a lot easier. But life doesn't always work that way. It doesn't fit into a box or fit to my every whim. You know, I think about when a loved one is sick or passes away. When that happens, it's really easy to look around and be like, well, what is the point of all this stuff? You know, we go to work. What's the point of that? I know we have to provide for our families, but at the end of the day, when life is over, it's over. You know, the projects that we're in the middle of, the hobbies that we have and put practice into, when we die, it's all vanity. Those things, they're not going to help us anymore. You know, we can put those things in perspective in life, but when we get busy and we get to grinding and hustling and trying to do things, it's easy to lose perspective in that. And I don't think we need to be carried away with those things and stress and worry about those things. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." You know, how much comfort do you have knowing that your husband or wife cares about you? That your parents or children, that they love you and care about you? You know, we can find a lot of comfort in that, because if someone loves you and cares about you, they have your best interest at heart. You have their best interest at heart. But you know, oftentimes, and I don't know why, but it's really hard to find comfort that God cares for us. You know, the person who created the whole world, who gives us everything that we have or need in this life, He cares for you. And I think that we need to do as this says, to cast all our cares upon Him and not worry and sweat about these little things in life that we worry about. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Matthew 6 and 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to His stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" You know, have you ever been in a spot where you wondered how you were going to get a bill paid, or get through this next trial in life, or where you were going to get the money to get something fixed that was really bothering you? You know, I think we've all been there. It's not a good feeling to have to worry about those things. But God is going to take care of us. He doesn't say that He's going to give us everything we want or everything that we think we might need, but He's going to give us everything we need in life. And we have to make sure that we're doing our part, that we're working and doing what we can. We also have to have faith that God is going to take care of us. And we don't need to stress and worry about those things, because those things can consume us from thinking about spiritual things. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're still here. We haven't starved to death. None of us showed up here naked, thank goodness. But we still worry about those things. But he tells us not to. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Luke chapter 12 and verses 15 through 21 says, "And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull my barns down and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know, as I've said earlier, having things isn't wrong and possessions in this life, but this guy, he went way past that. You know, he was so obsessed with just piling everything up and just getting as rich in this world as he could that he lost sight of spiritual things. And we can grow the same way, and I think do it without realizing it. You know, if you go to the store, used to $100 would probably fill two grocery baskets. And now you can probably carry that out in your hands in two sacks. And so there's things that I think we grow accustomed to in life without realizing it. And so it makes us just constantly chase that next dollar, chase the next thing. We're always trying to get ahead. And I think the devil uses that to get in our heads and grow discontent, for us to grow in our minds to just think about the things of this world and let those cares choke out God's word, choke out the spiritual things in life. And if we're not careful, we can grow like this rich man and think only about the things of this world and not think about our souls and not think about the spiritual things that we'll have in the life to come. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verses 19 through 20, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust." You know, at the end of the day, the only thing separating us from animals is our soul. You know, we're going to go back just to dirt, just the same way we came into this world. We're not taking anything with us. And it's our soul that's going to remain after that. And it's that that we need to put value on. You know, it says, "For all is vanity." You know, everything in this life, when we're gone, is not going to do us any good. You know, if you have a big house, cars, whatever it is, you're not going to drive them when you're gone. And I think it's these things that we need to keep in mind and keep in perspective, because it's easy to lose sight of that. You know, and the bad thing about trying to chase the carnal things in this life, the material possessions, is that you can never catch them. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity." And if you'll turn to Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 7 and 8, it says, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All the things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." No matter what we chase in this life, we're never going to be able to catch it. You know, if we make $1, we're going to want two. If we make $2, we're going to want three. And that's just human nature. That's that carnal side that we have to fight against. We're just like a dog chasing his tail. I find it kind of neat you think about that. The rivers are constantly flowing, just massive amounts of water into the ocean. And it doesn't ever fill it up or get any deeper. And we're the same way. You know, anywhere you look in life, you can find somebody that has more. And you can find somebody that's probably looking at you thinking that you have more. And so there's no point in chasing these worldly material possessions. I mean, we all have them and all have to have things that we that sustain us and get through and through us with this tongue tied, that we get through this life with. But you know, if you buy a new car, it's going to wear out. It's going to eventually end up in the shop somewhere in a junkyard. If you buy a new house, you know, eventually it's going to require maintenance. You know, out there where I live, they're getting to be fewer and farther between, but you'll drive past an old abandoned house that's just one stiff wind away from blowing to the ground. And if you think about that, at some point in time, that was a new house. That was somebody's dream come true. And now it's just a pile of sticks. And that's all our stuff is going to be when we're gone. It's just a pile of sticks. It's not going to amount to anything. And so we need to keep that in perspective. You know, we can also grow discontent with where we are in life. You know, Paul, he had a pretty rough time throughout his life. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 30. 2 Corinthians 11 and 23 says, "And they are the ministers of Christ, as I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, and in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." You know, if anybody had it rough, it was Paul. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. He was whipped half to death. I mean, used to, they would stone people to kill him. And he was stoned and survived it. I mean, he was robbed. He was beaten. He was thought people were his friends, and they turned out not to be. I mean, he's been through it all. But he still found reasons to be content and to be happy in life. You know, if somebody can do that, I think we can certainly go home at the end of the day and find reasons to be content with what we have. You know, he didn't complain, he didn't whine, he didn't carry on about that, but he found joy in where he was. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 22 through 25, we read about Paul and Silas here. It says, "And a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You know, to get beaten and whipped and thrown into prison, I would pretty well say that's about rock bottom. You know, I think if we found ourselves in that scenario today, we probably think we were about there, about rock bottom. You know, Paul and Silas, they were content enough and happy enough to still praise God and to still be happy. They were singing praises to God. You know, I don't know if I've ever, in the hardest parts of my life, been that happy, found myself being that content. And I think God expects us to be content with what He's given us. You know, as we opened up with, having food and clothing, be content. In Philippians 4 and 11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content." You know, he said he learned to be content. Paul didn't say that it was automatic or that it was a reflex. You know, if we're going to be content, that's something that we're going to have to learn. We're not going to eventually save up enough and buy the things that will bring us contentment. We're not going to get that promotion or that status in life that we will finally be content. We're going to have to learn to be content now. Because no matter what we chase, we're never going to be able to catch contentment. That's something that we have to make a choice and decide to be. You know, I think it's easy for us to not really see discontentment as a big deal. You know, we can think to ourselves, man, it sure would be nice to have that, or sure, I'd like to win the lottery. Who wouldn't? Or whatever it may be, we think to ourselves, maybe that's not a problem. Maybe it's not even a problem that hurts anyone. But you know, God, he didn't accept complaining and murmuring. He didn't accept it from the Israelites. He's not going to accept it from us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verses 1 through 10, 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye evildoers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." You know, it may not seem like a big deal to us to maybe keep those things to ourselves or be discontent, but God is not going to put up with that. You know, if you think about all the things that he did for the Israelites, and they would complain and murmur, and they paid a big price at times for those things. And we're no different. If we're growing discontent, you know, that can lead to covetousness. And if covetousness is something on our minds, God can't be on our minds. If we're always wanting what everyone else has, if we're always thinking about that next thing, God's not on our minds where he should be. If you'll turn to Colossians 3 and 5, we're told that covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3 and 5 says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." You know, if we're constantly thinking about stuff, about the things of this world, we can't be thinking about God. You know, we often think if we're not bowing down to a calf or something like that, that we don't have to worry about idols. You know, that's something that we read about in the Old Testament. That's not something we have nowadays. But an idol is anything that takes our attention away from God. Something that comes between us and God is an idol. And we have to be careful with this because discontentment can lead to that. If we're constantly chasing things and constantly putting things before God, the things of the world before God and before spiritual things, that can become an idol to us. And we have to watch and we have to guard for that. I want to close with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, we often sing a song. It says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." And I think if we really, truly did that, we wouldn't find ourselves being discontent. You know, we would find that we have a lot of reasons to be content. And every one of them God blesses us with. I think that's the best way to sum up being content, is to be thankful for what we have. And tonight, if you haven't become a Christian, if you haven't been baptized and washed your sins away, you haven't taken advantage of the best blessing that God gives us. And that's to have a forgiveness of sins through Christ. And we can help you with that. You can be baptized and have those sins washed away and start your walk with Christ. Or if as a Christian you've been distracted by the things of the world, if you've allowed those things to creep in and take over your life, you know, we can help you, we can pray with you and study with you. And if there be one of either class, we ask that you'd have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.